John chapter 15 is part of Jesus in the upper room. Final instructions, discipleship, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Key word in those chapters of discipleship is love. Love. It is mentioned on 30 occasions in 5 chapters. So there's a command to love one another. There's the promise of love. There's an explaining of love. To love is to obey. There is the example of love, the love that the Father has for the Son. So you got love, 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 love. And then he talks about hate. Hatred, effectively. That the world is going to hate you, you disciples. Not everyone, but enough people, and perhaps significant people, will hate you. Ongoing relevance to us. Well, we live in a world where probably 300 million people of our brothers and sisters in Christ live under some sort of persecution. 300 million. Hate is a serious business, for it can result in a loss of life. And so the Lord unpacks it for us. Where is this hate coming from? How does it play out? And how do we serve through it? Where's it coming from? How does it play out? How do we serve through it? First of all, where's it coming from? Genesis 3. Genesis 3, have a look at that. Start of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, with the fall of man, his disobedience, and God's judgment. We're told this, as God speaks to the serpent, who is in fact the devil. Genesis 3 verse 14. 3 verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, okay, deceived, encouraged the man and the woman, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity, yeah, hatred between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Okay? So he will take your skull and crush it, but as a response, you'll get your lips out and you'll deliver some venom right through the sole of his feet. And that's a picture of conflict, isn't it? And the rest of the Bible is simply a playing out of conflict. That's what it is. An attempt by Satan, an attempt by men to destroy God's magnificent work through mainly destroying his people and deceiving his people and seducing his people to keep them from serving him. That is the attempt. We're told it will fail. It will ultimately fail. God will have his way. He will accomplish his purposes. That's the good news. So there's hate in the Bible. There's been hate in the John's Gospel. So John chapter 5, John 5 and verse 16. There's been some hate going on there. It says there in John chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus has just healed a man. And it says there, because Jesus was doing these things, you know, healing people on the Sabbath, okay, big crime, on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jewish people persecuted him. Yeah? So that's what's going on. There's hatred, isn't there? Chapter 7, there's going to be an attempt to seize Jesus. Chapter 8, there's an attempt to stone him, but they're too slow. Chapter 10, there's a second attempt to seize him. And in chapter 13, you've got Judas' betrayal. So there's a history, a background of hatred. And we're told it happens to the Lord, and therefore, as a result of the disciples' unity with Christ, it will happen to them. Okay? It'll happen to them. So what we're going to do with this passage is we're just going to work our way through it. And it's John chapter 15 and verse 18. John 15, verse 18. Let's work our way through and hear what the Lord says. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Any animosity towards you is built on the animosity towards Christ. He says, because of me. Okay? So we shouldn't take it too personally. I hate your guts. I hate Christ's guts. But people often don't have the courage to actually say that. But that's what's going on. Verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Okay? What would happen to a Russian soldier who is captured by the Ukrainians? They speak to him, they treat him kindly, and he says, I now agree with you. I think your cause is correct. I want to join you. I want to shed my uniform and go now and follow you. What will the Ukrainians make of it? They would love it. But what would the Russians make of it? They would have a particular hatred for the man or woman who did that, who leaves our side and goes to the other side. If you're a Christian, that's exactly what you've done. You've left one side and you've gone to another side. You've moved from friend, brother, to foe. Cannot be trusted. Why have we been hated? We have been chosen out of the world, and hate is the price you pay for loving Jesus. Let me repeat that. Hate is the price we pay for loving Jesus. But God will say, and the Lord Jesus will say, and the disciples will say, that's a small price to pay. That's nothing. It's worth it. It's worth being hated for a little while to have the pleasure and affirmation of God for eternity. This is nothing. It's a little thing, little trouble. Verse 20. Remember the words I spoke to you. Okay, so remembering is a big thing in the Lord's teaching here. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So if they persecute Christ, they will persecute the disciples. That is a promise. You can bank on it. But why do they hate Jesus? Why do they hate Jesus? Why do they hate disciples? Why is there still hatred for disciples today? Verse 21. They will treat you this way because of my name. Okay, so it's not about you, it's about me. For they do not know the one who sent me. They do not know the one who sent me. That is a provocative statement, even today. Yeah, but the first persecutors of the disciples were religious people. They read their Old Testament. They knew their first five books of the Bible. They were devout. They prayed. They worshipped. They gave to the poor. But the Lord will say, by their actions, they don't know God. They don't know God. And they will say, oh yes, we do know God. Of course we know him. And he will say, no, you don't know God. that if you knew God, you would not hate the Son of God, the one perfectly revealed by God. And you wouldn't hate those people who serve the Son of God with the spirit of the Son of God. No, the fact that you hate the Son of God is a sign that you hate God. So what is he teaching? What is the Lord Jesus teaching? He's basically saying, you can talk about God all you want. You can give all you want to the poor. You can spend hours and hours in prayer and reading the Bible. It's not a sign you know God, is it? That's not the sign you know God. It's often seen in how you will treat his people. And often how we treat people, and actually even Christians need to hear this, how we treat people, God's people, and those made in his image who are not believers, how we treat them is a fair indicator underneath of what we think of God. What I think of God. People may say, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't have the knowledge. I'm ignorant. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles and yet have hated both me and my Father. Yeah? You knew, you saw. Yeah? You saw and you knew. You've had my words and you've got my miracles. You should know. There is no excuse for your treatment of me or my people. You are guilty before God. That is, many people will speak of their love for God, their great love for God, their devotion to God, while at the same time they will persecute Bible believers. And they're able to square it in their minds. I love God, I hate you lot. Yeah? Hear what he says. You hate me and you hate my people. You hate me, you hate God. Yeah? By your actions you will know them. If you hate me, you will hate God. If you really want to love God, if you really want to love God this morning, you must give up the hate. You must love Christ and his servants. Verse 25. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. This is to fulfill what is written in the law. It's a quote we're going to have from Psalm 69. They hated me without reason. They hated me without reason. Fulfill the law. Scripture's fulfilled. What is that saying? To say scripture's fulfilled is basically to say this is anticipated by God. He is expecting this. He is not caught by surprise. And so to say scripture's fulfilled, it's another way of basically saying God is in control. I'm so in control. I so know what's going to happen. I can write it down hundreds of years before it even happens. That's how in control I am. Do we believe that? Do we believe this morning that God is in control of world events, number one, and your life, number two? Do you believe that he is utterly, totally in control? And therefore, I do not need to panic or fall apart. Amen. What? Why? Why do they hate Jesus? Why do they hate him? What does he say? They hated me, verse 25, without reason. Without cause. Yeah, that is, if you sat them down, yeah, if they ever cooled down long enough, if you sat them down and said, why do you hate Christianity? Why do you hate Christ? Why do you hate Christians? they would not be able to adequately explain it. Yeah? They would not be able to explain it. You see, what is offensive about someone healing people on a particular day? Why is that so bad that you want to kill someone? Why is it so terrible that you can raise a child from the dead? What is so awful about feeding 5,000 people? What is so bad? That a lot of the hate that people had and still have is illogical, it's irrational, it is unthinking, and it is unreasonable. People just lose their temper and go crazy. Yeah? So, intolerance. One of the things that Christians are accused of, particularly in the West, you people are intolerant. Yeah? Well, and the people get angry about the Christian intolerance. But how do they deal with the Christian intolerance? By getting intolerant. That's how I deal with the intolerance. I get intolerant at them. And if somebody comes to me and says, why are you getting intolerant at the intolerant people? How do I respond? I get even more intolerant. Well, what is logical about that? There's no logic there, is there? And because there's no logic, understand this. With some people, there will be no reasoning. Yeah? Some of us as Christians, we think, if I could just have a word and explain, they will understand. No, with some people, there's no logic behind what they're doing. It's probably quite demonically driven. Their eyes are blind. Anything you say is just going to add fuel. You'll need to know the type of person you're dealing with. But some people, all our persuasion techniques will not work. They won't work with some. Summary. Why does the world hate the disciples? Because of their unity with Christ. Okay? Unity with Christ. They hate him, therefore they hate them, the disciples, therefore they're going to hate us. It is going to happen in some form. Okay? Depending on where you are in the world, it will look different. What are some of the issues that draw hatred today? Because the gospel is still offensive. I think number one is teaching that people are sinful. The teaching that people are sinful. I mentioned it before, I was once at a debate, and the speaker mentioned sin and all people being sinful. This guy stood up at the question time, and I was right behind him, so his backside was almost level with my, and his backside was shaking. He was shaking, his whole body was shaking, and he said, I want you to know, I am not a sinner! He went absolutely mad. And the speaker just said quietly, well, yes, you are, and so are we all. So are we all. And then just carried on. The guy completely lost it, didn't he? People hate to be told that. The insistence that Jesus is the only way to God, which we looked at a few weeks ago. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to God. Christ dying as a substitute. Yeah, because that pins sin on me. That pins Jesus' death on me. The need for people to repent, to turn from sin. People hate that. Christian ethics and morality, the sanctity of life, from the womb to the grave. People get very angry. Christian ideas on sexuality and gender, that there is only two genders, male and female. People will completely lose their rag about that. Marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman in covenant relationship, that sexual activity should be between a man and a woman in covenant relationship, consensual. Yeah. All things that the culture has accepted for thousands of years. But now, people go crazy. They completely lose their mind. And then finally, our honesty when others around us will casually lie and steal. Yeah, people will hate you for that. If you're the one who sort of blows the lid on a certain culture within particularly the workplace, they will hate you for it. So I remember a brother in Eastern Europe who was a police officer, came to Christ, he had to leave. He just had to leave, couldn't stay. Because the culture was such a lying, stealing culture, he would have to tell the truth, and they would go for it. So he had to leave. Be aware, there are times when there may be justified anger towards Christians. When some of the anger directed upon us may well be deserved. That is a few examples. When we contradict the gospel, our behaviour or our words contradict the gospel, and we fail to repent or apologise. Okay? When we are stealing, when we are lying, when someone points it out, and we don't say sorry. Yeah? Then, if people get very angry with us, we deserve it. True? Agreed. Yeah. Okay, I'll agree on your behalf. Second one is ungracious behaviour. What I call fruitless or fruit-light behaviour. When in debate with other people who may not share our beliefs, we become rude. A lack of gentleness, a lack of kindness, particularly you find it in social media, online debates. Yeah, where the Christians just abandon the fruit of the Spirit, take the gloves off and just go one-to-one with people. If you do that and people hate you as a result, that's not the fault of the gospel. It's not a fault of you serving Christ. That is just you. Okay, that's you. You need to repent. And then finally, abuse cases. Abuse cases in the church and our failure to handle them. That can result in hatred. And where the church lets themselves down, we should apologize. We should apologize, shouldn't we? So just be aware, some of the hatred at times can be deserved. Okay, let's look at how this hatred plays out. Chapter 16, verse 2. They will put you out of a synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. So it's exclusion from the synagogue, from religious life. Okay. Secular society, who cares? You want to kick me out of the church? That's fine. I'll go to another church up the road where they don't know about what's happened here and I'll just start again. That's all I'll do. Or I won't go to church at all because what's to be gained anyway? Religious community, religious society, it's massive if they kick you out, isn't it? It's a massive thing because the worshippers will then be encouraged not to employ you. Yeah, don't give him a job. Don't give her a job. Or don't buy from them. Why? Because they're the other side. They're Christians. Don't buy from them. Don't let them live in your home. Don't let them share your family name. Kick them out. Remove them. And the person who fails to exclude the disciple, who wants to keep on loving the disciple, well, they too will be excluded. Okay, so we saw that in John chapter 9, didn't we? With the man born blind. The parents were afraid. Why? Because if they do not come out against their son, they will be excluded themselves. And so they give the son up. Yeah? One reason why Christians around the world are very poor today is because of exclusion. They're not able to take their place or part in the ordinary things of national life. In many countries. You people are Christians, so you're never going to work for the government. You people are Christians, so this person's not going to buy from you. And so often, for many believers, they live a poor but rich existence. Okay? Rich existence. And then you've got there, haven't you, in verse 2, expression of hate. Yeah, anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. Yeah? I'm doing God a favor. I'm acting on God's behalf. God wants me to sort this out, which means to kill you. To kill you. This is very serious, isn't it? Death in the service of God. Killing for God's sake. to honour God and to honour his name. We see it, don't we? All over the world today. Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, we see it, don't we? We see just what Jesus said. Of course it's a relevant book, isn't it? This is exactly what's going on. People killing in Jesus' name. People mistreating people in Jesus' name. Other religions mistreating people's names. Hindus, Sikhs mistreating people, especially in India. Behaviour of Roman Catholics, Orthodox people in the name of God. Even the Buddhists, who most of the West think are very benign and cool and calm and everything else. Even they're persecuting people, persecuting believers. People will kill in the name of God. Yeah? If you are encouraged as a believer to want to take up arms and kill in the name of God, nah, you've got the wrong faith. You need to be down the road somewhere. This is not what it's all about. There is a place for defending yourself, especially if the government won't defend you. But actually actively looking to kill people, that's not us, because we've got a more powerful weapon. Hatred in the West and hatred in the UK, we've got to be careful. We don't want to exaggerate, okay? We don't want to exaggerate on one hand, and we don't want to become paranoid. Yeah, that is, our situation that we face at the moment is nothing like our brothers and sisters in other countries. Yeah, we sort of almost see ourselves on a par. We are nowhere near on a par with them. But it is worse than 30 years ago. The treatment of believers is clearly worse in the UK than 30 years ago. More verbal attacks, especially in social media. More discipline at work. People losing their jobs, especially in the public sector. Calls for laws that would restrict Christian speech. Yeah, so we need to be calm. Yeah, it's not North Korea. Yeah, we're not North Korea here. But it's not 1990 UK either. It's not 1990. So we need to be alert. We need to be aware. Be alert, be aware. What do you do if a person or a group hates you? When it comes to life and someone hates you, you know, outside of the old Christian bubble, there's a number of things we can do, isn't there? Here's one thing we can do. We can hate them right back. Okay? Number one, the gloves are off. You hate me, and I'm going to come for you. Come on then. Let's do it. That's one way. Way number two, we run for it. Someone hates you, run away. Run away, disappear, hide. Number three, what we could do, okay, outside of the gospel, we could embrace them, try to join them, yeah, perhaps compromise on some of our beliefs. Number of things we could do. Only with the gospel, you can't really do any of them things. You can't really do any of them. So we're not free to hate. We are not free to just hate people. Sin, the world, and the devil, yeah, we'll hate that. But actually, individuals, no. We're not called to hate them. That is not an option for you as a Christian. That would be sin. The next thing would be embrace them. Become a part of them. Become one with them. Become them. But that would be a denial of who you are and how God has made you. You would be going against who you are. That would be compromise. That would, again, be sin. Or you could run away. Imminent danger. Let's run for it. There's a place for that, actually. And actually, a lot of believers in persecuted countries, that's what they do. They will run for it. Very legitimate thing to do. Very biblical thing to do. The disciples ran for it at times. But there is still a call to live life out in the world. There is still a call to be a good witness where you are. So, how do we do it? We've got a world where some people, even some governments, may hate us. What do we do? Good news. Good news. God gives us two great things to keep us going. Number one, foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. Verse one. All this I told you so that you will not go astray. And in verse four, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. So number one he's going to give us is foreknowledge. What makes hate so shocking? Often it's the element of surprise. I never saw it coming. Yeah? If you have met someone who has discovered that another person has let them down, what is the first emotion they've often got before anger? They are absolutely shocked that a person's been saying this behind their back or doing whatever they've been doing. They're absolutely shocked and stunned. It's like they don't know what to do. They just keep repeating the offense over and over again. But what has the Lord done for us graciously? He's removed the shock. So it should not come from left field if you've got your nose in the Bible. Because again and again and again, you're going to be warned about this potential problem. Yeah? And so with that, hate loses its element of surprise. And that can take a lot of the stuff away. Because I know it's going to happen, so what am I going to do? I'm going to make my plans. I'm going to prepare in prayer. I'm going to put the spiritual armor on each day. And possibly even during the day. And what it's also going to do is counterproductive, because now I know it's going to increase my love for God. Because I know he's reliable now, because he's so in charge, he's anticipated it, he said, look out for that, that's going to happen. It's going to happen, and so, wow, I can trust him with more things, come on. So one great thing he gives us is foreknowledge. The second great thing he gives us is his spirit. His spirit. So verse 26, what are we told? When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Yeah. I overcome hate with the Holy Spirit. Because I've still got work to do. The Great Commission, God doesn't say, look, I've got the Great Commission, go out into the world, share the gospel, but if people start getting angry with you, don't bother, just pack it in your bags and just go on your way. Let's just suspend it. He doesn't. He actually says you need to keep going, and in fact, you're going to do it through hate. How do I do it through hate? Because he's the major person doing it. He's going to do it for us. He's the counselor. He's going to stand alongside you. He's the Spirit of truth. He is committed to the revelation of God. He is against all lies. He's a fighter against all lies. Within you, you have a fighter. If you're Christian, Holy Spirit within you, you have a potential fighter who's ready to do battle whenever it comes against what is not God's. He's within you, ready to do that. And you are called to be a witness. But he's going to do it with us. You're not alone. You see, it's Trinitarian, isn't it? It's the Spirit from God testifying to the Lord Jesus. As preachers, we can wrongly present witnessing and evangelism. We can say, look, you need to get out there and witness. That's the old evangelist, isn't it? Get out there and evangelize. As if it's all down to you. You're not going alone. Yeah, forgive us if we've ever given the impression you're going to go alone. He's going with you. He's going before you. He's been preparing even some hearts for you, so that when you go, people are receptive. Well, not everyone, but there'll be enough people receptive. He will give you the strength that you need. As you speak, he will speak. Here is one of the interesting things about the persecuted church and countries of suffering. They are the churches that grow the most. Look at the facts, nation after nation after nation. Where there has been suffering, where there has been hatred of believers, what's happened to the number of people becoming Christians? Increase, increase, increase. Saudi, North Korea, China, increase, increase, increase. And where is the places where it hasn't grown as much? Here, with less of the suffering. Go figure. Go figure. What is that about? Answer, I don't know. Let's pray. I don't know. But that's what is seen, isn't it? The hatred has not put them off witnessing, and the hatred has produced a massive fruitfulness. They don't know what to do with it. Iranian government has to mention it, but wants to dismiss them as a bunch of street workers. Yes, there has been growth. Yeah, a few people. They don't mind. They're inconsequential. Other countries are still in denial about the growth, but the growth is happening. Middle East, growth is happening. It cannot be stopped because it's a work of the Spirit. So we're building a picture of the Holy Spirit from John 13 to 17. He indwells, he teaches. Chapter 15, he witnesses, he testifies. So, summarize, hate is going to happen in some form. There'll be a lot of indifference to what we say as we share our faith, but there will be increased anger. Do not give in to anger. Just because someone's angry, don't rush to always sort out their anger. Most of the problems they have is not with you, it's actually with Christ. And because they can't get at Christ, because he's in heaven, they'll have a go at you. Don't hate them for it. It will be hard, but don't hate them for it. Remember, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you as you draw upon his strength. And remember the suffering world. There are a number of Christian groups and charities that will give you information about the suffering world so you can begin to pray for them. Open Doors is one. Release International is another. You can find them online. Release International, Open Doors. Evangelicals Now, the newspaper, has a section almost every month on what's going on in the world. Be aware of what's going on so you can rejoice and you can join in with what God's doing. I remember as a young Christian, got involved in Open Doors. I tell you, my faith shot up because during that they said, let's pray for the fall of the Berlin Wall. And at that time, there's no way any Berlin Wall's falling anywhere. Okay? Cold War, boom, no chance. Well, what happened? Within about a couple of years of praying, the Berlin Wall fell. The Berlin Wall fell. And let's be honest, I was just jumping on the back of other believers. I was just along for the spiritual ride. But what a ride it was. Help me to believe that in terms of a government, anything can happen when the children of God pray. Anything can happen. So there will be hatred, but we have the Spirit. Amen.